Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So what sort of chaos do we have in store coming up here in the next week or so? We'll get into all of that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are making us a part of your Wednesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We'll take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. What's wrong? You want to apologize to Lee again? You want to
Sorry. On air. Let me apologize to Lee.
What are you
air
doing over there?
For everyone. I was making fun of Jonas, actually. But you know what? We didn't get to, in case you missed it, because I went off on this Me Too Wild chant movement tangent, and I apologize, Lee. I'm sorry. I totally hijacked the segment.
Lee stormed out.
Yes, he did.
Lee,
I'm sorry, Lee.
Sorry about that, Lee.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, just, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
You know,
we won't do in case you missed it today. Sorry. My apologies.
It's all good. You know, I mean, Lee stormed out. I mean, he was very upset, visibly shaken.
Yeah, and you ran out and had to go console him and give him a hug like y'all do. Y'all's weird brother-in-law or stepbrothers or brother from another mother. I don't know. Y'all got a weird relationship.
I'm not his type, trust me.
But I'm just saying, I do apologize.
Yeah.
All right.
You all right?
We got that out of the way.
We good, Lee?
All good, you guys.
Okay, all right, cool.
So now we move
on. Yes, he is back in the control room. Yes, he is back in the saddle after having an emotional breakdown.
Yes.
After that segment.
Here's the situation that we've got in the world of college football. Obviously, a lot of changes, coaches coming and going, leaving, departing, going to other places, getting pay raises. We talked about the Brian Kelly fiasco. We talked about LeVar as a defensive coordinator at Penn State, leaving to go to Virginia Tech. All of this is happening, but we also had a college football playoff ranking reveal last night that was dropped on us. And as it stands right now, the college football playoff rankings, as we head into conference championship weekend, are Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, and Notre Dame is sitting at 6. So how are we going to get some chaos? Because as you pointed out, Brady, it is not that impossible to think that a couple of these teams could lose this weekend and then everything gets thrown into the wood chipper. Now we got to figure this whole thing out in about a week from now. This is going to be a wild time.
Yeah, let me just go about kind of talking about the lines and where we're at, right? So Georgia, the number one overall seed, they've been that way for a while now. They are a 6.5-point favorite over Alabama. I fully suspect Georgia to win. Now, this will be close, and in part because they've got Bryce Young, who should win the Heisman Trophy, as their quarterback. Jameson Williams will be back for this matchup. And so I think it'll be a little closer than people realize. But that being said, Georgia wins. That's going to knock Alabama out now at that number 3 spot with 2 losses, non-conference champion out of the top 4. Then you look at the matchup between Michigan and Iowa. Michigan moved up 3 spots. They're a 10.5-point favorite over the Hawkeyes. Now, this is an overreaction in my opinion. This is an overreaction of what we saw between Ohio State and Michigan in Ann Arbor and the way Michigan dominated that game. Michigan hasn't been able to dominate anyone quite like that. And this Iowa football team, say what you want, they don't score a ton of points or sometimes struggle to do so, but their defense is damn stingy. And they'll have a hard time scoring against that defense and not turning the football over against that defense the way they play. So that's another game where I like the dog to cover. And maybe even Iowa, and LeVar was there to witness it with me against Penn State. Granted, they lost Sean Clifford. That had a lot to do with
it. But they knocked him out.
Yeah.
We didn't lose him.
That's
they
true.
Knocked him out. of the game.
And we witnessed it together. Like, yeah. They just kind of hung around, knocked him out,
yeah.
And then they finally made a few plays to win that game. I think Iowa covers that, and there's the chance they outright win it. So if you have the number two team, the number three team being bounced out, and you've now got an Iowa team that sits, what is it, at 11? They're not even in top 10 as a two-loss Big Ten champ. I have a hard time believing they're going to leapfrog them all the way up in the top four. So if that scenario plays out, or even Cincinnati, if they're to lose to Houston, even though I don't see that happening this weekend, Houston's a good football team, but I think Cincinnati's going to win. You've got two spots now with two teams that have lost two games that aren't going to somehow stay within that top four. And that's where if Oklahoma State beats Baylor, which is likely in my opinion, you've got Oklahoma State coming in, but then there's Notre Dame sitting at six.
Yes.
And as I said yesterday, I think the College Football Playoff Committee is scared of the current situation at Notre Dame. I think they're going to do all they can in that scenario or in a chaotic scenario to keep them out because they don't want to have to deal with what could be a team that may not have their offensive coordinator in Tommy Reese, may not have their defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman. They already don't have their head coach and Brian Kelly. He's gone. I think they're worried about putting that team in the playoff given those circumstances, regardless of the fact that they've played some of the best football of anyone, especially after that loss. So it's a chaotic scenario, but trust me, the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't want to be concerned with potentially a team going in without a head coach. And so I'm telling you right now, even in a chaotic scenario, they're going to try to hold Notre Dame out, even though they'd be deserving in that scenario to go in.
And Gary Barta hinted at it last night and sort of, well, you know, that wasn't factored in this week, but we would take it into account. I think that's such crap, man. Like, that's the equivalent to a starting player getting injured, and all of a sudden now you reevaluate whether or not that team's worthy enough to get in. Like, if we were playing that game, imagine what they would have done to Ohio State with the Cardale Jones situation. He was the third-string quarterback back then, and they ended up making a run and winning a national title. I think that is such a cop-out. That is such BS. In fact, I think it makes it a better story if this team, who everybody feels like got screwed over by their head coach and left at the altar when they're trying to chase getting into a national championship, if that team without said coach ends up making a run to go to the national championship, I think that's a better story. Why wouldn't you want that
hard,
played
though.
Out?
It's hard. It's a bigger brand, though, too.
That's the other thing you have to acknowledge is if you've got Oklahoma State going in and you've got Cincinnati going in, you got to be a little bit concerned about ratings.
100%.
People may be concerned, but let's not get it twisted, folks. This is about business, all right?
Yep.
It ain't yo business; it's show business, and so they're about making sure that they get the type of brands where those ratings will be there, the viewership will be there, and that's the only thing that I would say would maybe give Notre Dame, because of the storyline you're talking about, and because of the brand, a chance of them saying we got to do it, we got to put them in. And by the way, Brian Kelly doesn't call plays on either side of the ball. You know, so if you still have your coordinators intact, I mean, I don't know if they'll end up naming an interim head coach or not, but the reality is it's not really going to matter that much schematically with how this team goes about
they
its
might
business.
Be looser, honestly.
Well,
with
yeah.
all the reports coming out, they might call better games.
Well, they're not going to get the middle finger at some point.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's that. Well, I mean, they do seem like it's been
surviving
a little bit
surviving Brian Kelly.
It does seem like it's a little bit of a rallying cry just based on some of the stuff that, you know, guys have taken to social media to talk about. Just sort of, you know, this is still about us. There's a video of the strength coach, as we mentioned earlier, talking to the team saying he's not going anywhere. I just think if there's an opportunity to get that team, who's a little bit wounded right now based on how that handled, into the College Football Playoff, if the committee uses that as an excuse to not include them, I think it's a bunch of crap. I think it's short-sighted, and I think they've missed an opportunity to have a team that a lot of people would actually rally around based on the current situation.
Are they America's team right now? I mean, think about it. Like, you kind of got a team that has played pretty darn well this season, and they've gotten better and better, and now they've got a head coach that just up and left.
And they got screwed.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of sit there and think to myself, like, I don't know how you can't root for these kids, and these young men, I should say, not kids, they're young men. I don't know how you can't root for them, and I know people are going to say, oh, you're biased, you're an idiot. It's not that. if this had happened to any other school,
you feel the same way.
I would feel the same way. Yeah. I'd be like, dude, you know what? Good for those kids. Hopefully they have a shot to go in there. Because I've always felt this. Like, the coach is kind of that guiding light. But at the end of the day, it's about the players. It's about, you know, the team and those guys on the field doing it. So if that scenario plays out, I hope they give them the shot to prove themselves.
Bob Stoops hinted at it yesterday. He was at a press conference and he said, look, I'm going into the College Football Hall of Fame based on the players. Like he said, no one guy is bigger than the program. He talked about obviously Lincoln Riley and himself, and he talked about Barry Switzer. He said this is about the players. Like the players are what matter. The players are the most important thing about this program. I mean, if that's the case, let him run out there. Who would be the interim head coach? What's the plan there as far as who's going to coach this team up if they are to make a run and potentially get into a playoff game?
So that's the issue. Is the athletic director Jack Swarbrick doesn't feel like there's a need for that because of their structure, and maybe that's kind of telling of like how they've operated this year. Is yeah, they don't have their figurehead anymore, but when it comes to football, like that really wasn't what his role was. I mean, all this stuff has kind of been a well-oiled machine. Tommy Reese handles the offense. Marcus Freeman handles the defense. Brian Pullian handles special teams. Now, if I had to put one in that spot who knows that he's not going to be trying to politic for the head coaching job, it'd be Brian Pullian. He's been a head coach before. He's one of the more elder statesmen there. And he touches, obviously, all three phases, right? When you're on special teams, you talk to all the players in the team. So it would kind of make some sense. Because then that allows Tommy to focus on offense, Marcus to focus on defense. But there's a lot of players who are pushing for Marcus to be not only the interim, but potentially the next head coach. And I think right now, you know, there's so many moving parts that if I'm Marcus Freeman as defensive coordinator, like, I don't know that I'm focused on that so much as I am just seeing where we fall. And if we're playing for a national championship, if we're in the playoff, I'm just focused on going in there and trying to help our team get a win. Because regardless of what Notre Dame decides to do at that head coaching spot, whether it's him and he gets a head coaching job or it's another candidate, like he's going to have a shot to be a head coach somewhere else. Like let's just play out this scenario. If they end up playing either in a New Year's Six or they end up playing in the semifinals at some point around New Year's Eve, and they're saying, hey, we're going to wait, we're going to be very patient with our process, and Luke Fickell ends up being their number one guy. Well, if Luke Fickell leaves Cincinnati, who do you think is going to be the number one candidate for the head coaching job at Cincinnati? It's Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of just say, I don't know that I would rush to do anything if I was him, even though there is a lot of momentum right now from Notre Dame recruits, Notre Dame players who love him and want him to be the guy. And I do think he'll be a good head coach. But the reality is it's hard to cut your teeth on that position as a head coach because it's more of a CEO position than it is an actual coach. I mean, you're fundraising, you're meeting about all sorts of different things and your donor base on a national level and dealing with everything else besides being a coach. And sometimes it takes a little while to get accustomed to that because it operates differently at ND.
It's a Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Discover. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, so coming up next, we're going to find out whether or not an NFL head coach is telling the truth or if he's trying to play some games, all right? Try to play a little psychological warfare. We'll get into all that for you next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to have another edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, hand out some awards here in the middle of the week from the previous week in the world of sports and beyond. So we'll get to that here later this hour on FSR. By the way, before we get to this situation at quarterback for one team in the NFL, we do, somebody wanted to say hi to you, Brady Quinn. You know, you remember our former former technical producer, Bobo, on Sunday night. Yeah, he's listening to the show right now.
My guy, yeah. Bobo. Yeah. Miss you, buddy.
My guy, Bobo.
He wants to know if you're still a slappy. That was
Yes, that hasn't changed. Yeah. That has not changed.
So there is that. Yeah. So it's good to see half of Bobo's listening there. Sir, we get that joke. I just want to say that.
You mean Aaron's listening.
It is true, yeah.
Aaron
Pacquiao.
There's Bobo and there's Aaron. Yeah, that's Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron Pacquiao. All right.
are you guys done having your personal moments from when you guys were without me?
Why don't you explain what you're looking up right now on your phone?
I'm looking up a 2008 Washington football team roster.
Yeah.
2008?
Yes. Who was the receiver on that team?
Because he was very gifted, according to LeVar.
I don't know about all that.
Good player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real good player. Just hard to watch him play. You know?
Yeah. Just.
But nonetheless, it's like you know how like you see a dead animal on the side of the road. It's like you look at it, but then you don't want to look at it anyway, and you look away.
Yeah.
But then you got to look again. Yeah. It's like you take another look again. Yeah. That's what it is.
That's a great point.
I hope you guys put that one together.
Yeah, well,
I did. No, yeah, I did.
There was a whole lot there.
Got a VIP rope there.
Yeah. All right, whatever that means.
Well, you know, you'll see. Look up that picture. Okay. All right, so let's get into the situation at quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, because Sean Payton, I mean, it felt like, you know, Taysom Hill was going to be the guy. We're going to get some Taysom Hill here playing the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. That'll be coming up here a little over tomorrow night. And yet here we are, Sean Payton saying, well, we're going to see how he's doing tomorrow, meaning today. So now things are up in the air. Trevor Siemian, still in the mix. Taysom Hill's been dealing with some sort of an ailment, a foot issue, which made him unavailable last week. So what is the what do we need to do to get Ian Book some love here? At some point, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, it feels like you don't want to go to Siemian. Taysom Hill's not quite 100%. And Sean Payton is either playing some psychological warfare because he doesn't want the Cowboys to be fully prepared for whoever the quarterback is going to be tomorrow night. Do the right thing. All right, throw Ian Book a bone, man. It's been a rough couple of days for Notre Dame. I mean, what are we waiting on here, Brady? Let's make this happen.
That's why he's going to do it.
Damn
yeah,
right.
Hey, guys, we're still in the middle of a playoff hunt here, but
see?
I'm just going to do Notre Dame a favor.
Yeah,
that's nothing to do
with it. I'm glad we agree.
I do think it's important for them to see what they have in Ian Book at some point this season. Now, because they've still got a shot at a wild card spot, maybe he doesn't want to put that in his hands yet. That's a lot to carry for a rookie. But I'm with you. There's no need to go back to Trevor Siemian. We know what he's capable of or what he's not. Taysom Hill, we've seen him before at quarterback. So unless you feel like you're going to try to ride this thing out, and it's going to be a little bit of a different offense, you have to utilize his running ability. Their running backs have been banged up. They've been missing some guys. So maybe he feels like that's a missing element to their offense. But Ian's capable of scrambling around and doing some things. And the other thing I'd just say is, you know, you take away that ability of Taysom Hill to impact the game situationally as the Wildcat quarterback or tight end receiver, kind of whatever you want to call that slash position. So you take that away. So I'm with you. I don't really understand why they don't give him a shot. You know, maybe they feel more confident at least putting Taysom Hill in for the short term, but you're going to see him at some point in time this season. I think you have to, especially if they're not in the hunt for the playoffs, just to go in this offseason knowing what you have on your roster.
I haven't seen the injury report from the Cowboys. Is Lamb coming back this week? Like, who's coming back?
I believe he'll be back. Amari Cooper's the guy.
Yeah, he's questionable.
Questionable.
Yeah. Which, if Jonas calls him questionable, he'll probably be out. So,
thank you.
I mean, that's happened before.
Okay.
That's unbelievable how I get my balls broken, because at the time when I did the prop bet monster, Mark Ingram
was
listed.
Which was 36 hours before.
All right, well, what do you want me to do? Listen, this is the time slot we're in. Mark Ingram was questionable. Next thing you know, he gets announced that he's not going to be playing, and Brady Quinn can't wait to fire off a text. Hey, by the way, Mark Ingram out. Nice,
that's
nice
right.
option
hey,
there.
That's right. All right. Saddle up, partner.
Unbelievable.
All right. Well, sorry.
Would you like to monitor your little brothers here, LeVar? We have an issue here.
I'm telling you
we're your little
if
brothers.
If we were a movie, this would be the funniest junk ever. us doing a Thanksgiving dinner / Christmas dinner.
It's just unbelievable.
It would just be interesting. That's all I'll say. I think our family reunions would be amazing. Listen, you don't have your head coach for Dallas for this game tomorrow. I think that's a tremendous piece of evidence, to say that New Orleans has a very, very promising opportunity here to take advantage of McCarthy being out of the game due to the vid. And so whatever it is that Sean Payton believes is the right approach and whoever that is with, then that's what you got to do. Because, again, I'm still trying to make a season of this. And, it's one thing to try to evaluate, your talent or see if you're, a guy that you have can be that guy for you moving forward. But it's kind of like, what do you choose in a moment like this? You have a vulnerable team that doesn't have their head guy that's going to be there, and you're going into a primetime game. I would assume that Sean Payton is going to want to put his best foot forward with the team that he presents on that stage. So who whatever quarterback that is, and here's the thing, right? Whatever the reasoning is, whoever we see come out there starting that game is who he felt gave them the best chance to win the game. And that'll be interesting to see.
Let me ask you guys this. If New Orleans was further out of the playoffs, because right now they're tied with Washington for the final playoff spot, but there's some tiebreakers and they're sort of, second and third down the list. If they were further out of the playoffs, would Ian Book be the starting quarterback tomorrow? Because I think he would
yes.
be.
Yeah. I think this has to do with them having a window.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, that's 100% what it is.
So what do you think the plan is going to be for them in the offseason? Because, look, Jameis Winston, I mean, he played okay at times this year. There were a couple of games, but he is going to be coming off, the injury. Are they going to be one of these teams, like possibly a Carolina, who knows with Miami, although Tua started to play much better, that are going to be in the market? The Giants, we've talked about them, being a suitor for Russell Wilson. Is New Orleans going to be one of these teams that's going to be in the mix for one of these big-time quarterbacks that could be had, whether it's Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers? It feels like that's a team, along with Pittsburgh, that's going to be in the mix for one of these big-name guys. Like, it feels like Sean Payton would want to make a move like that, I would think.
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. I think there's probably some veteran QBs, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, maybe even Deshaun Watson, that they should think about that as a potential landing spot. I mean, he's a great play caller. They've got an organization that is willing to build out around. They typically draft well, develop well. It's an attractive destination. I mean, I'll leave it at that because I think they've got a shot. Now, I mean, the only thing standing in their way is they're in a division with the defending Super Bowl champs this year. The Bucs still look to be one of the best teams. I mean, I guess maybe you're thinking, I'll go there and have to battle Tom Brady for however many more years, but eventually it'll be their division again. So it's an attractive spot. It really is. There will be competition. I mean, let's be real. And there will be that sense of, does Aaron Rodgers want to go from Green Bay to New Orleans? Does Russell want to go down south, or does he want to go to New York? Because I keep getting the sense that he wants to be in a bigger market than Seattle, and he wants to get to the East Coast. He's already won a Super Bowl. He's been to two. Maybe it's more about building that part of his off-the-field ventures.
I wonder, where does Sean Payton stack as far as play callers and respected guys?
Five, top three, depending on who you are.
I mean, so it's definitely a destination that would be under consideration. So we'll see how it goes. But come on, make the move. Get Ian Book in the game, for God's sakes. Let's get some new blood in New Orleans and see what we're working with there. By the way, we're brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, so there's somebody dispelling a rumor in the world of sports. We will get to that next here on FSR. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, the most exotic update anchor in all the land,
wow.
The one and only Brian
wow.
Finley.
Hey. Well, Jonas, you're talking about Ian Book. What about Carlisle Holiday coming in at quarterback for the Saints? Let's bring him back. He's still got some game.
I mean, what's wrong with you, Finley? By the way, Finley, I was listening to you on AM 570 LA Sports.
Oh, you were?
The Blowtorch. Last night you were doing some UCLA talk.
Yeah, man. We're doing some hot UCLA. What time? Yeah.
A lot of Pac-12.
It was at about like a little after 7 p.m., I want to say, Pacific time. And
okay.
It was right after I found out what they're charging for Christmas trees this year. What a joke, man. Unbelievable.
I'm not laughing at you. I find you not unamusing right now.
Shots fired.
I just want Finley to be able to focus in on what he needs to do.
That's a good point. You know? That's a good teammate. That's a good point.
Yeah. Finley, I want you to present yourself in the best way, bro.
I'm not even going to laugh during your
your update.
Sorry, Finley.
No matter what it is that you try to say to get me to laugh, I will not laugh, just so you know, Finley.
Okay.
I'm going to allow you to focus. Go ahead.
I will say, Jonas, I appreciate you, and thanks for tuning into that.
Yes.
But as far as the
end... Good job, Jonas. No, come on, stay focused.
Okay, all right.
Here we go, come on.
The Suns, they're in the NBA. Yep. They have won 17 games in a row after they... Oh my goodness. After they take down the Warriors 104-96, Devin Booker left in the second quarter with that left hamstring injury. The Lakers, they take down the Kings 117-92. LeBron James did not play, health and safety protocols. The Trailblazers, they best the Pistons 110-92. CJ McCollum putting out 28 points. How about the Nets as they staple the Knicks 112-110? James Johnson made two free throws with 2.2 seconds. And then, obviously, the college football conversation is a hot topic here with number one, Georgia taking the playoff ranking. Then right behind them is Michigan. Third would be Alabama. And then rounding out the top four is Cincinnati and LeVar. For some reason, I can't see Penn State. I don't know. Maybe there was an oversight there. They should be in there, unless they're not. In college basketball, Ohio State is victorious against number one Duke 71-66. The Buckeyes held the Blue Devils scoreless for the last 4.5 minutes of this game. And then number two Purdue, who is now assuming that Purdue doesn't lose the rest of the week here, they're going to be number one next week, and they devastate Florida State 93-65. Those Boilermakers are 7-0 on the season. Let's get back to the three amigos, the three dudes, the triple option here. It is LeVar, it is Brady, it is Jonas.
You know,
I love Christ.
And it drew the issue of Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, that was one of my classic lines.
Is that you trying to say Chuba Hubbard?
Yes, yes. Yeah. That was.
What did you say, Chuba Hoover?
And it drew the issue of Chuba Hubbard.
Okay.
Sounds the same, right?
I said Hoovered.
Yeah, like the Hoover vacuum.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. I do like that you took a subtle shot at LeVar's Penn State Nittany Lions, by the way, would wipe the floor with Oregon State. I just want you to know that. If they were to play off.
Yeah. But what about a bowl game with UCLA, Penn State and UCLA?
That'd be a waste of time. I'd still take Penn State. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
What do you mean, really?
What do you mean, really?
Finley, you think UCLA would be Penn State?
Yes.
Oh,
this
God
version
sakes.
Of the Penn State?
What do you mean, this version?
What do you mean, this version?
Finley, what are you talking about?
Have you not paid attention to this year? I mean, outside of Illinois. I mean, Illinois, I'll give you that, Finley, but.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Yeah.
Look at all the teams that Penn State has lost to.
Okay.
And who is UCLA?
They beat LSU.
LSU fired their head coach. They're
come
awful.
On, Finley.
They've won. They scored 62 points on USC. They scored 32 answered against
USC,
Cal.
Because USC has all of a sudden come back
amazing.
To relevance. Yeah. 4-7.
Pac-12 is amazing.
Oh, just wait, you guys. Just be patient.
I can't wait to watch them in the college football playoff, the Pac-12 conference. And they're not even.
By the way, Finley, you are such a slut, too. Here's why.
Here's why.
He picks and chooses which one he wants to root for. Last week it was Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. This week it's UCLA. Mm. Pick a side, dude. Be loyal to one or the other. Stop fooling around on somebody.
The most dominating team of the last 10 years is Brian Finley and his cellmate Jared from Subway.
I like that. Now, that might be the best soundbite ever in the history of radio.
By the way, that's a great
Chris Plank.
That's a great Chris Plank.
That's Chris Plank who.
That might be the best.
Who didn't think to read that before he went on the air with it. Unbelievable. unbelievable.
How's that cellmate deal going?
I mean, come on, well, Finley.
I bet you Penn State would lose to you guys. Now, I will say that. We would not win in a match against you and your cellmate. I will say.
Oh, jeez.
What's that movie with Adam Sandler where he's got the football team and
who cares?
Prison?
The Longest Yard, the remake? Like the one remake. Of those famous movies ever?
That team would beat this year's Penn State.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
And you thought that was funny when you was thinking that through in your head. You were like, I'm going to fire this one off.
Well, Jonas is laughing, so I guess somebody thought it was funny.
I'm laughing at LeVar's breakdown of your delivery of the joke. Yeah. That's what I was laughing
I'm
at.
I'm just mad that you didn't dispel the whole cellmate thing. You're like, you want to know how we were? We were like the Adam Sandler group in that movie. What was the name of it called? The Longest... Okay.
I'm not
going to
touch that one.
You just did.
Yeah.
you just did.
UCLA would beat Penn State. That's the disrespect they have for Penn State.
It's all good, man.
And by the way, Chip Kelly was on the hot seat coming into this year. So let's not pretend like it's the most squeaky clean, well-run organization there at UCLA. Well-run
program. It's all good. I don't hate on UCLA. I'm a fan of UCLA.
No, they've done a good job of improving, getting better, but let's call it what it is, dude.
Run them off the field, bro.
There is such a gap between the SEC and Big Ten and everyone else. It literally, there's a gigantic gap with the other three Power Five conferences. It's literally like a Power Two, and that's essentially it.
A Big 12 is three, correct? If we're doing a Big 12 three, then eight.
Yeah, because you've got Oklahoma State, Baylor, who kind of been in the mix this year. You know, usually, historically, Texas has been, even though they're not. But, yeah, I think Big 12 would be three. And then, the ACC has been propped up by Clemson. I'll actually give the Pac-12 this credit. There's more parity, and it's a little deeper conference than the ACC. But they don't have a team that's as good as Clemson traditionally, or at least since the playoff has started, how good Clemson has been.
Oh, the last Pac-12 team that was in the playoff was Washington, right? A couple of years ago, and they got absolutely...
They scored on their opening drive, and then they didn't score the rest of the game.
Yeah, they got annihilated.
Who was that they were playing?
Alabama, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Alabama. Yeah.
Took them to the woodshed. Took a battle axe to them. Where it all started going downhill, though, was the first year. Was Oregon. When they were in the national championship, and Ohio State with a third-string quarterback physically abused... that entire program and the Pac-12,
the entire program,
they haven't
and conference.
They haven't recovered since. Like the whole narrative of like finesse football, like that has still been the thing, and they have not recovered since that game.
I think Petros still talks about it. By the way, Petros will join us next hour.
Dude,
I think he still talks about that game.
I kid you not. So I was on a panel desk. I was the only one who picked Ohio State in that matchup, and I remember sitting there. Quietly in the back room, I watched him kick a couch and go, they're never going to take us seriously. They're always going to think we're soft. He went off on this whole tangent and was freaking out as Ezekiel Elliott just ran down their throat the entire game.
Man. That sounded like Finley after his last update.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, we are going to have another.
They're never going to take us seriously.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Handing out some awards for you next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon, I'm Dan Byer, and we have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, we are going to get into one name that continues to pop up when the rumors start flying about a certain position in the world of sports. That'll be yours here coming up in about 15 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. Brady Quinn, by the way, will be in Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship game.
That's awesome.
Fired up. But you're going to get to a little St. Elmo's Steakhouse? Is that what it's called there in Indy? Is that how the is that the
yes,
place?
Yes, St. Elmo's. That's the famous spot. We will be there Friday night. The cocktail sauce, which I'm not a big shrimp cocktail guy, but that is supposedly the thing to get, and it's really spicy. A lot of horseradish in there.
Yeah,
I believe.
Oh my god, that'll really clear you up. Horseradish will clear you out.
It'll clear you up and clear you out, buddy.
Yeah,
right?
They have a beer there too. What's the local craft beer called? Like Sunkist or something like that? No.
Sorry, here it goes.
It's like something like Sunkiss or something like that. Well, that's the beer.
Lee's on it. It's probably in his bag. So just wait to hear. Lee probably has the name of that. But I've heard that the shrimp cocktail is the way to go there. But you're allergic to shellfish, so you can't have the shrimp cocktail.
Really?
Correct?
That's correct.
That's a bummer, correct.
Man. So I don't usually partake in that. Just a meat and potatoes guy, you know, little Midwest guy.
God, you load up the horseradish.
I can't believe you're allergic. Anybody that's allergic to seafood, I just feel so bad for you. Like,
well, I'm not allergic to seafood.
Okay.
So I can eat fish.
Oh, okay.
You just can't have the crustaceans. You know what I'm saying?
I kind of feel bad for you on the crustaceans. We talked about the crustaceans earlier in the show. You know, crawling all around.
I found
around,
out about
moving
it.
Around.
Eating them. Yeah. Yeah.
You found out about them, Brady?
No, not those. No. You know what? I'm not even gonna entertain this because he set me up.
It's a South
because it was stone crabs. It was stone crabs that I was eating, and that's how I found out. I blew up like Will Smith on Hitch. I've told you the story before, but I'm not entertaining this.
Okay, but
I got set up.
Right, stones crabs.
I just walked into the room. There was a dead body, and someone handed me a knife. They're like, "Oh, you did it."
Okay, hold on.
Brady had the stones crabs.
So hold on a second. Was that the first time you'd ever had shellfish before? So you'd never had shellfish before, never had shrimp cocktail, and that was your first time, and it just blew up.
It wasn't shrimp cocktail.
Well, I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, you say
what
you're
was
allergic-
it, Brady? Brady didn't want to say it again.
Because I would imagine you would have had shrimp cocktail at some point, so maybe it's not just...
No, I'm not, like, we're not fancy like you, you know, you Thousand Oaks, you know, pinky finger up while you drink your beer.
I got to be honest, IPA, I'm with Brady on that one. I don't recall having seafood too often, let alone shrimp cocktail growing up.
Yeah. Not when you're a blue-collar family, you know? Not how we
First
grew
of all,
up.
You
and not like Jonas Knox was dodging golf balls,
right.
All right?
Oh, yeah,
when he was growing up.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
They come again. Here comes that Pro V1.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Behind
the gated community there on the hills of Dublin, Ohio, you know, I was from the mean streets of the 805.
Right? The hills.
Yeah.
Dublin's as flat as it gets.
Yeah, right, man.
Oh, God.
The hills.
The only hills you saw is because you were so drunk.
That's true. Well, speaking of hills,
you were so drunk you thought there were hills.
that is true. But leave her out of this. All right, it is time for something we do on the show every single week, and it's called this.
There are some good things that happen, and there's some bad, and then there's some downright ugly things. It's time for Good, Bad, and Ugly.
All right, Lee DeLapp, direct the traffic. Who's handing out what here this week on this week's edition?
All right, at the start of December, let's get a little bit of good from Brady Quinn. Brady, what's good this week?
Well, I want to look back at last week because I don't know that I got enough national attention. I kind of brought it to our crew, to their attention at Big Noon Kickoff. But on Thanksgiving, Blake Corum, he took his NIL money, I believe a portion of it, not all of it, as one of our cast members said, a portion of it, though, and bought, I believe, 100 turkeys for some families in need. So Blake Corum, running back at Michigan, tremendous job, young man, taking care of those in need and utilizing that NIL platform.
Nice. Good for them.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lee. What else? All right. Your traffic cop here.
All right,
come
I got
on,
it.
Man.
Well, I got to ask, LeVar. Was it Sun King Brewing in Indianapolis?
Sun King.
Wow.
There you go.
Look at
King.
That.
Yeah, there it is. I remember that.
It could be that. It could be that. It sounds like it.
A little sunlight cream ale. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be it. It's real popular.
Ew.
Yeah.
All right, LeVar, really what was bad this week in sports?
Oh, man, there's so many things to choose from. Do we want to go with Brian Kelly and the way that he rolled out? Do we want to go with RG3 and his Me Too movement creation? I mean, I don't know what's bad, and I guess those are obvious ones. I'll take this one. You have four games with divisional opponents leading after this Saints game. If they don't win, if the Cowboys do not win this game on Thursday night, it might not be bad. It might get ugly, and you do not have your head coach going into the game. You're vulnerable. I think that's really, really bad for the Dallas Cowboys, and it could be worse.
Speaking of ugly, Jonas, what was ugly this week in sports?
What's that supposed to mean, Lee? Yeah. Let me just say this. On a weekend in which we saw classic college football action, we saw, you know, Thanksgiving, the ratings. It was a bonanza for the NFL. Raiders-Cowboys did monster numbers. You've got Roberto throwing his hands up like they're responsible. You gave up on the Raiders a week ago. You can't claim them. You quit on the Raiders a week ago. You can't claim them. But on a weekend in which we got so many quality games. We talked about the game. Brady was there in Ann Arbor, the snow, Ohio State and Michigan. The Iron Bowl was fantastic. Oklahoma State was awesome.
Yeah.
All of that. And then the NFL follows up on Sunday with this trio. Giants, Eagles, Falcons, Jaguars, and Jets, Texans. I mean, come on, man. We couldn't mix and match a little bit and go, hey, holiday weekend here. Why don't we actually have some good matchups here? Why don't we space these things out? They rolled out three duds, three bags of crap like that after a successful
Zach
run.
Zach Wilson showed off. He showed us some potential.
He threw an interception off some guy's back.
Yeah, that was about as bad as I got.
I was being sarcastic. I mean, got to win.
It was ugly.
Yeah, it was not. That was my ugly moment from the NFL this weekend.
Those were some ugly matchups.
Yeah, not a good look.
Didn't feel like you were missing much.
Yeah, but when college football rolled out what they did, I mean, to go from Ohio State, Michigan into the Iron Bowl like that, that's a tough follow in the NFL. That was some fun action there. Speaking of fun action, LeVar, check this out. What do you think of this right there?
No, not going to do it.
No, not going to look at that.
No, and I'm not going to mess with them Stones crabs either.
By the way, Brady, Bo Jackson's 59. Can you believe that? Like, Bo Jackson just turned 59.
How old is Michael Jordan?
Time
we were
is
having
moving,
that
man.
Conversation.
He's
last
like
night.
Right there too. 60?
Is he 60? Yeah.
Is Jordan 60?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.